Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide, breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
Here at Tiger Stadium on Saturday night, there is nothing like it.
The players.
We're having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
LSU is the best job in football.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our hosts, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gilbo.
These are players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Tiger Rag Radio. How you doing tonight? Jeff Palermo along with the executive editor for Tiger Rag Magazine. That is Todd Horn. And then the editor, Glenn Gilbo. Andre Champagne, our producer once again. And it's always a pleasure to have you with us, whether you're listening to us live on many of the stations that carry us around the state of Louisiana. Some of us carry on a tape-delayed basis. Also, you can catch us on YouTube. The show gets produced, put together by Andre, and it's usually posted up on YouTube about 30, 40 minutes after the show airs. And you can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Great show lined up for you tonight. Richard Anderson, one of the top players in the 2026 recruiting class, the dominant defensive tackle from Ed Nakar, fresh off his Warrick Dunn Award win, as he is the best, according to the LHSAA network, the best high school football player for the class of for the 2025 season. So we'll talk to Big Rich coming up here in about 20 minutes. Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait, he will join us as well this hour. We'll also talk with another LSU football signee. That's Amari Peterson. He will join us as well. He was previously committed to West Virginia, then eventually committed and signed with LSU in January. So an important part of rebuilding that defense a little bit, or he'll be a big player on that side. So we'll talk to him in hour number two. And then, of course, we'll get into some basketball talk as well. Matt McMahon will join us. Tigers got a little bit of a break here as they don't play again until Saturday against Georgia. And then a big game for the Lady Tigers Thursday night against Texas. Corey Diaz from the USA Today Network covers LSU women's basketball for them. He will join us to help preview the top five matchup between LSU and Texas. Todd, Glenn, no longer freezing. How you doing?
Well, I'm having trouble adjusting to this. It's the eve of National Signing Day.
And yes.
There's not too much out there that's happening unless Mike Scarborough, when he joins us, has some information that we really don't have right now, Glenn.
He says it's going to be a quiet day, but the biggest news is Lane Kiffin is going to have a press conference tomorrow at 2, and I don't care if there's not one signee to talk about. I mean, there will be a couple of signees to talk about. They got a few commitments for this class, but we're going to talk to him about the transfer portal. That's the big news, and just talk to him. I mean, it's his first press conference since the introductory press conference on December 1st. So that's pretty cool. We finally get to get some access with the rock star.
Yeah. Finally, he'll not be playing softball. He's done his tour around the state of Louisiana as far as visiting various high school recruits. So we've known what he's been up to. But
when was he playing softball?
Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Oh, because he's a pickleball guy.
Well, it was the coaches had a softball game, and I think the offense beat the defense because I saw Blake Baker text, got to be better.
Well, he's an offensive coordinator.
Crack a home run.
It was opposite field, too.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. My question is, tomorrow during the press conference, will he be tweeting at the same time?
I don't think so. But it will be interesting. It's been a while since we've had a chance to speak with him, and a lot has transpired. I mean, just everything with the coaching staff, all these. And it's going to be great hearing from Richard Anderson, because if you go back to when he first arrived, when he first got on campus, one of the first guys he met was Big Rich as he was trying to solidify that December signing class. And he met with him, met with Lamar Brown, made sure that and then remember there was this talk of maybe Richard Anderson and Lamar Brown not signing until February. And then it eventually all got settled. And
they got that taken care of, yeah. Because he was introduced on Monday, December 1st.
Yes.
And signing day was Wednesday, December
3rd. That's right, yeah. So it has been a little bit quiet, guys, because the transfer portal has finally settled down. We're still 10 days or so away from the start of LSU baseball season. Basketball has been going on. The Lady Tigers are playing about as well as anybody right now.
I think that they are – right now as good as UConn, who's mm-hmm. the only undefeated team right now, I think 23-0. But I mean, this is a big week.
Yeah.
Big week for LSU. If Kim Mulkey and the team can take Texas down again, it would be a sweep of number mm-hmm. three Texas.
Yeah. So Texas is four, LSU's five.
Okay. And South Carolina's third. And then South Carolina's coming in here on Saturday, the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Auburn in between, and Auburn's not having a good year. So realistically, if LSU can take those two, they'll be in a position after the 14th, if they can do that, where they'll be a number one seed in Charlie Cream's prediction.
Could win the SEC regular season title.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're one game back of South Carolina right now. Obviously, if they can beat the Gamecocks to get the tiebreaker there, beat Texas twice to get the tiebreaker there, they're looking really good at that point. But we had a measuring stick back in early January. They stumbled right off the bat, and now it's time for another measuring stick with this team playing as well as they're playing, and winners of seven in a row.
You know, Andre covers them as his beat for Tiger Rag, and he and I were talking the other day, and I told him, I said, man, this team is really coming together. They're like getting to know each other now, and they're, you know, like I mean, to beat anybody by 40 points, mm-hmm. like they did to Alabama, but Alabama was in the top 25, and you know what? Alabama went up after losing to 40 against LSU in the polls.
Yeah, they're number 21. They were like 25 going into that game.
Right.
Yeah, so that Alabama team came into that matchup second in the SEC in scoring defense. They only allowed 55 points a game.
How could they go up really in the poll? That's crazy.
They jumped three spots.
They're a quality team, but it's crazy because that was just a massacre.
Yeah, that was a beatdown. That was about as well as they could play.
Well, Andre, what did you think of how the LSU women play? Because you were saying several weeks ago that this was Kim's best team at LSU.
Yeah, I would agree with that still. It's just they still need to be tested. I would say this month is going to show a lot because they have four more ranked teams, and so that's two more, including Ole Miss and Tennessee, in addition to the South Carolina and Texas game. But you're going to find a lot out about this team in the coming weeks. I just think that there's so much on the offensive end that it's just too much for opposing teams. And if their defense and rebounding is on, that you might as well just not even show up to the game.
They got like seven players averaging in double figures, right?
Seven, yeah,
that's
seven.
Crazy.
Seven of the 12.
Yeah. And they're getting into the position where, you know, like probably if they beat Texas and beat South Carolina, you got to say they're a number one seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but even if they stub their toe later on, like in the SEC tournament or somehow didn't win the SEC, the worst they could be after that would be a two seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like they're on the verge of a one or two seed at the worst.
You know, the big knock – I'm sorry, Jeff. But the big knock earlier, whenever they had the two-game losing streak to Kentucky and Vanderbilt – obviously, they had the rebounding problem against Kentucky. But the biggest knock, I think, was that Kim Mulkey was saying that they weren't tough.
Right.
That's changed. They are not only tough, they're in their face on that defense. I mean, and Jada Richard, the point guard, sophomore point guard, I think she's leading that effort.
And is she a true point guard?
She's true. a true point guard.
So is that Kim's first true point guard at LSU?
No, I would say Kayla Pointer in 2020 was – or 2021, I'm sorry. And then in 2022, I would say Alexis Morris was – she was more of a shooting guard that could, you know, shoot mid-range shots off the dribble, but she could also facilitate. But Jada Richard is the most complete point guard she's had, I would say, so far at LSU.
Well, and I agree with that. And it's not just because she distributes the ball well and she shoots well, and she's averaging like 17 points in the last four games. So she's definitely shooting well. She hits the three-pointer in spot situations that are – she's always making the big play. And she's tough on defense too, shutting down the other team's top, you know, scoring guard. She's been doing that for the last three or four games. But I think the biggest thing that she does as a point guard, and all those are important, don't get me wrong, but is she takes command of the team. And she's doing that with Michaela and Flauge and Malaysia Fulwiley as well. Now, they're all contributing, but Jada's in control.
Mm-hmm. Even though she's a sophomore, does not have as much experience as those players, she has been able to find her role on this team, and she's become one of their better scorers.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a good defender as well. They've been getting double-digit block shots too, which tells you that they're getting good play down low. I mean, Kate Koval, I think, is another one that is really, after some early struggles. Kim Mulkey said it after the game on Sunday that it's a fun team to coach. It's a fun team to watch because they have come together. They have, after not really understanding, you know, when they were, like I had said, when it was the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals for 12 games to begin the season, it was hard to kind of see what she had. But, man, now that it's coming together and they're playing legitimate opponents and beating them by 40, I think it's pretty special what's going on right now.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, we talked about it last week. But and Andre did a story on it earlier this week. It's on TigerRag.com right now. She's put it, Kim has put some emphasis for the first time on winning the SEC or trying to win the SEC. Usually she's like, you know, it doesn't matter. As long as we finish in the top four, get a top four seed, can host the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament at home. But she's sort of changing her tune right now. Why do you think that is, Andre?
I would just say because it's so wide open this year, they have about eight or nine teams right now that could literally still win it.
South Carolina's beatable.
They are. They are beatable.
I don't see anybody in the country that's not beatable. I watched UConn. Tennessee had UConn's number most of that game.
And I don't even think Tennessee's that strong of a team.
And even when LSU won the national championship, the feeling was South Carolina would be tough to beat.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just getting excited right now because I was watching UCLA. And, I mean, they're good. They're like number two in the country right now. But I don't see anything special about them either. LSU's the most dynamic team in the country right now. Whether they're the best team or not is debatable, I think. And I think most people would go with UConn. But dynamic-wise and depth and talent, I mean, they don't rely on anybody in particular.
The depth, the point guard play, I mean, those are two things that Kim has been missing the last couple of years. That she has this season.
Yeah.
And she's got, you know, Michaela Williams and Flauge Johnson, and even those players will have off nights, but it doesn't matter because you got someone like Fulwiley. You have a Jada Richard. Kate Koval can give you something. Amaya Joyner can get. There's a lot of people that can contribute. So even if Michaela has an off night or Flauge is just kind of is not necessarily looking for her shot, there's others that can step up, and that's what's made it as good as it's been so far.
Well, when you talk about stepping up, I mean, real contributors, that freshman class is
Grace
really
Knox,
Grace Knox is a stud. I mean, down low, she's just you know, everybody talked about Anissa Morrow's toughness down low. I think Grace Knox is rising to that level. And then the what's her name, Johnson, the other Johnson?
Zakiya.
She's amazing too.
All right, amazing is a good way to describe Richard Anderson. He's going to join us when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to... Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious... With multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability.
Nice.
Making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
All right, let's get to our first guest of the night. He's one of the best defensive linemen in the country. Just won the Warrick Dunn Award for Best High School Football Player for the 2025 season. He is Edna Carr's Richard Anderson, soon to be LSU Tiger, two-time defending champion now. The Edna Carr Cougars did not lose a game the last two seasons. Richard Anderson has not lost a game since his sophomore season against Acadiana. He joins us now here on Tiger Rag Radio. Big Rich, how you doing tonight? Thanks a lot for joining us. Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo.
Hey, how y'all doing? Thank y'all for the opportunity.
Well, it's great to have you on our airwaves. First of all, your reaction to winning the Warrick Dunn Award, that was a pretty cool moment for you. And I know also you had two of your teammates who are finalists for that award as well.
Yeah, Ian Hall and John Johnson, two great guys. My reaction to winning the award, it was like I said in the video at the award ceremony, like it'll be amazing for the trenches for a big guy to win the award. You know, past years, a lot of big guys didn't win it. Well, how many big guys won that award?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's usually a quarterback, running back type of an award.
Yeah. So I just put on for the trenches. I had my head down praying, and I won. When I got up, I was in my head. I'm like, I did it.
You're a trendsetter. Trendsetter, Richard.
Hey, Richard, this is Todd. Hey, so tell us what happened during your, this past year during recruiting. You were right in the middle of the coaching change, and it was rumored at least that you were thinking about waiting until February to commit, but then you reversed and actually committed in the early signing day so you can be there in the spring or in May. What's going on with that? What happened?
During the coaches change, there was a lot going on, you know. I was to prepare for the state game as well also, so it was just a lot on my mind. Practice, leading my team, and playing a team that we played in the regular season. You know, they say it's hard beating the team twice, so it was just a lot going on in that time period, and I told my coaches, hold on, because the coaches that was there, like Coach Frank, like I had great bonds with them. That was on my commitment to the school as well. And then once I got all this stuff, practice and stuff situated, and on signing day, like before I walked in the door, Coach called me. I was like, what you doing? I'm like, I'm a sign, Coach. You know, like, ain't nothing like not playing for LSU. Like, I feel like this is where I fit in at. Still as now, even with the coach's change, like, I fit into it. Like, I'm in the program. Like, I'm dialed in. And I see why I stayed and committed to this school.
Richard, what was it like in that first meeting with Coach Kiffin? How did what kind of impression did he make on you?
You know, he was excited on the phone there when I re-announced my commitment to the school. Like, you know, Coach Lane is a great guy. I didn't talk to him around the school. You know, he's chill. I just want to see like what his coaching mode is like for real. Like off the field, Coach Lane, he's an amazing, fun guy. So I just want to see like what his coaching mode like. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Richard,
I ain't see it yet.
Did you have any interaction with Coach Kelly before he was let go?
I I didn't go to the last two games before he got let go because I had family emergencies and stuff. So, but I had a great bond, Coach Kelly, Uncle BK. That's what I used to call him. So, like, I had a great bond with him. So when he got let go, it was hard, but, you know.
And Richard, how excited are you about possibly playing a lot as a true freshman? A lot of people think you're definitely going to play a lot as a true freshman. What's your mindset going into that?
My mindset going into my freshman year, like what everybody said, I'm hoping to play my freshman year. Like, I've been putting in this work, getting up 5 in the morning, going with God at 6. So I feel like I got that edge right now. I'm in the pre-book early. You know, it always have a rocky beginning, you know, adapting. So I'm just waiting on to the last when they spot the ball. That's what I'm waiting on.
What do you think of some of those offensive linemen they signed in the portal? You're going to be going against them, man. Is that going to be some strong competition?
When I step on the field, I'm a totally different person. I ain't worried about who went for me. So, like, they go do their best. I'm going to do my best. We just go rock out from now. As long as we know when we get on the field against another opponent, you know, we got to handle our business.
I hear you.
Hey, Richard, it seems like from the outside of Coach Kiffin's program and the LSU program, y'all's program, that it, from the outside, it seems like there's just so much good vibes and good energy that, you know, it's been reinvigorated. Do you feel that way?
Yes, I do. Like, the strength and conditioning coaches, Coach Savage, Coach Jordan, like, they all dialed into us right now because they know that this is a change for a lot of us. Even the people that played last year, like, y'all got a whole new coaching staff. This is different. This is a change. They had to adapt to it, too. So it's like we all on this ship, and we trying to get across.
You feel
and Coach Lane got the right people in with us. They've been putting us to work. I feel like all this work that we've been putting in, that's going to pay off.
Richard, thanks a lot, man, for joining us. We appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you. I know you wore number 7 at Edna Carr this past season. What number are you going to wear at LSU?
I've been banking on that 88 for Jalen Carter. That's my I look up to him on his game style.
So number. So
that's what I want to wear, 88.
Number 88. And who would that be after? Who's that?
Jalen Carter, Eagles.
Oh, okay. Oh, Jalen Carter. Yeah. Now that would be good, because if you're Jalen Carter, if you play like Jalen Carter, LSU's winning a national championship. Okay, Big Rich.
You can see it.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Congratulations again on winning, and thanks again for winning the Warrick Dunn Award, and thanks again for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Richard.
Richard Anderson, one of the top defensive tackle prospect in the class of 2026.
Does this sound right? 53 tackles, 22 for loss, 10 sacks, and an interception.
That sounds about right.
That's amazing.
That sounds about right. And playing in the toughest district in the state, one of the toughest. I know the folks up in Northeast Louisiana would beg to differ, but still, one of the toughest. We'll be back after this here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Catholic League, baby.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. While I'm a fourth generation rice and soybean grower, you don't have to be a farmer to be a Louisiana Farm Bureau member. Membership has its benefits, from discounts on car seats, hotel rooms, and rental cars, to access to insurance you can count on to be there when you need, plus a whole lot more. We're 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Tiger Rag Radio is back, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
All right, great conversation there with Richard Anderson. He's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun to watch. And he's a big personality, big guy, obviously. he'll be a part of the 2026 team, that's for sure. Joining us now, Mike Scarborough. He's been covering LSU football for a long time now. Of course, does great work with Tiger Bait. Mike, thanks a lot for joining us here on Tiger Rag Radio. How you doing tonight?
Great, Jeff. Glad to be with you, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It certainly has. Your impressions of this transfer portal class, what are – I know there's a lot you could pick from, but what are, you know, outside of maybe the quarterback position, because we, you know, it's pretty obvious of what they were able to do there, but what really sticks out to you that says, man, they really improved the roster in this area?
Man, I don't know how you can argue on paper that they didn't improve the roster in every way. Now, the problem is once we get to see them and once the season starts and you start to see where maybe, you know, they didn't get it right or someone didn't come along as well as they thought they were or whatever it might be. I guess we won't know that the proof is in the pudding until we see it in the fall. I mean, when you're talking between your signing class out of high school and your transfer portal, you know, 60 new faces on your roster, you tend to think that there's a lot of safety in numbers, that, you know, if you got one or two of them right, you sign two extra ones just in case. I don't know. We're going to see how it all comes together. How soon can you get it all together? You know, we sit there looking at Kim Mulkey's team and saying, how can she get it done with all these new faces? This is a scale that we've never seen before.
Yeah, Michael.
But on paper, it's staggeringly good.
Yeah, I would agree. And you know what's really impressive too, Michael? You know, he's got the studs in the experienced players like Sam Levitt and Seton, the offensive tackle. And he's got a lot of starters in the class, but he's also got like about 20 players that are underclassmen, including the quarterback from USC. That's almost like a high school signing class. You know, I mean, those guys are the future. And then you throw in, you know, the 17 guys or so that are going to sign tomorrow. I mean, they look good in the short term and in the long term, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Yeah, I just. Look, I'd love to talk to Billy Glasscock, but he doesn't do interviews. You go drop his name into YouTube or Google. He's never done an interview, unless there's one that I'm missing at any of his stops, Ole Miss or Texas before that. Doesn't have a Twitter account. He just does his job.
Wow.
And his track record before getting here is off the chain. Then when you combine that with the work ethic of all these guys, and there's a whole lot of Saban-esque type stuff since the transfer portal period and the activity of visiting high schools. I imagine, you know, it's everything that Nick Saban did in 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. The difference is there wasn't social media and he wasn't being able to stand in hallways and take, you know, pictures that immediately went on the internet with coaching staffs at John Curtis and Carr and Acadiana and everywhere else.
Yeah, I don't think Nick knew how to work his phone like that either, if he would have. But, Lane is incredibly busy. I mean, it really is impressive what he's done. And his staff.
Yeah, and so I get the national perception of him. I get, you know, the way they view him and maybe LSU is the evil empire with this type of hire again. Two in a row that, you know, you hire the coach from Notre Dame that nobody liked, and then Kiffin with his history, and, you know, of course, the national media want to rehabilitate him with that documentary, and, of course, him leaving Ole Miss for LSU makes him say that he's nothing's changed, but
put in 6 years.
If you're an LSU
there.
Fan and you're watching the way he's building this program, you'll take it every day of the week.
Mike, whenever you look at you mentioned Glasscock earlier, and you compare the way that Glasscock and Kiffin evaluated LSU's roster, it seems like they just work circles in that area around Brian Kelly and Austin Thomas, and that they really knew exactly who they wanted or what they wanted at each position coming in, and they had valued the existing roster as well as the people in the portal and their recruiting class that they closed 2 days after Kiffin was here.
That's absolutely true. And believe me, they knew who LSU had committed because they were recruiting the same players. And the first thing they did was cut some of them loose. Because they knew that they couldn't play at LSU, and they didn't. Their evaluation was different, and the work ethic and the hands-on of Lane Kiffin versus Brian Kelly, it's not even close. Love Austin Thomas, but look, man, the fact of the matter is, whether it was Austin Thomas or Frank Wilson, LSU never won anything when those two guys were on the staff. I'm sorry.
That's true.
And there's a whole lot of mythology around Frank. There's a whole lot of mythology around Frank Wilson. That's it's beyond belief that the way that's been
same with Austin
caricatured over time.
Same with Austin same with Austin Thomas to a lesser extent, I would say.
Yeah. Look, I think LSU's in a much better. Now, look, having said all that. I mean, the expectations for LSU are just getting crazier and crazier. I mean, Vegas has them at 9.5 over under. You got national media outlets putting them out at 10-2 now.
Okay, so what scares you? What scares you about that? What scares you about that?
You got to get the roster together. Is what he's saying.
Yeah, 60 new faces, a quarterback that probably won't get to, be 100% until what day in the summer. And you have to basically finish September and October with one loss in order to meet those kind of expectations.
Yeah, you make a great point about that, but still, Mike, this is the most positive I've heard you in years.
No, and look, there's a lot of reason to be excited. I mean, this team, from top to bottom, this could be the best roster in 5 years. But does it all come together in time in September when you got Clemson and Ole Miss there?
Yeah.
You get past those two, and October, you should be able to – if you're going to have that kind of team, you should go undefeated in October. But can you come out of September with zero or one losses, and then November's brutal? But everybody's basically, if you're not in the playoffs, it's unacceptable. I don't know if that's realistic or not. I'm in the 9-3 category, but with what they're doing, what they've done so far, the staff that he's put together, the way the high school recruiting is already starting for 2027, I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited whether LSU makes the playoff or barely misses it going forward.
That's a great point.
But look, if they make the playoffs, anything after that's pure gravy.
Mike, does Sam Levitt's injury give you pause?
I would like to know what their conversations were like in the building when they were debating the quarterbacks that they brought in initially. It was just basically, we really want a guy here in the spring that's 100% to go. Yeah, Levitt's the number one rated guy, but that injury's tricky, and guys are maybe not are typically 80% of themselves a year later. Was that kind of the conversations that they had, or it became a non-issue, and they ended up with what they got, and then two other good quarterbacks. So, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Mike,
I think they're going to be fine.
I think what's exciting about tomorrow, we are going to hear from Lane Kiffin at 2, and I think we're going to get a little bit more of a light shown on a lot of these things that we've been speculating about. But, like, what was the thinking with the signing of how the court on the signing of quarterbacks, nearly losing Sam Leavitt, then getting him back. And I'm hoping that Lane will give us some insight, because if there was anybody, I know you mentioned Billy Glasscock, he doesn't do interviews. If there was a fly on the wall, this would have been a fascinating book to write, how this all came together. I mean, LSU fans would gobble it up, and I think anybody that's into college football stuff like that, because what was done was truly amazing. And now, as you've mentioned, it's all about, can they put it all together and go out and win 10 games next season and get into the college football playoffs?
And if they don't, they're going to be really good the next year. Yeah. And don't forget, when Kiffin had the number one class 2 years ago, he didn't make the playoffs in 24, but he made them in 25 when he didn't think he would going into the season.
I just think they've got a real good handle on Louisiana. I've got this scenario in my mind where it just seems to me, based on the buttons that they're pushing, what they're doing, I just believe that Kiffin is on the phone with Saban a lot.
Yeah, right.
I mean, getting down there and meeting with JT Curtis the first day, I mean, to me, that had to have been Saban that told him to get down there and do that.
Right.
I mean, it's just smart. And the junior days and bringing in 27, 28, and 29 recruits as quick as they did on top of the portal at the same time. There's a whole lot of vibes of the early 2000s under Saban that with the combination of the modern era mixed in with it. It's moving the needle. I ain't got to tell y'all. Y'all are in the same business.
Right. Yep.
Y'all see the. Y'all know the views. Y'all know what y'all are. Your website's doing. This guy is great for business. He's great for everybody. And there's a lot of excitement. And it's night and day between what's going on now and the last guy. And why is that? And why is that? I can tell you. And why do you think the Ole Miss media is so upset?
Yeah.
I mean, they even said it on one of their shows, the gravy train's over.
Yeah.
A few of them built brand new homes off of all the business that he brought them.
Well, and Mike, you brought it up, so let's delve into it.
Well, hold on. We need to take – hey, Mike, could you hold on for a segment, a quick break?
Yes.
All right, let's take a break and come back. More of Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait. We'll be back after this.
Tiger Rag Radio is back on the air, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Couple more minutes with Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait. Todd, you wanted another question to fire at Mike.
Yeah, Mike, you were talking about it just a minute ago, and you talked about how it's like a different speed that Kiffin and his staff are operating than what Kelly and his staff were operating. And you always hear that, you know, Kelly's the portal king. He knows what he's doing. He understands the game. It is a system that he has in place, like we talked about earlier. He
Kiffin's the portal king.
You said Kelly.
That's all right.
Kelly didn't even want to go into the portal when he first got here. And that's my point, is that it's like
Kiffin's, neither did LSU.
Kiffin's been ahead of the curve from the very beginning.
At Ole Miss.
But not just in going out and spending money and identifying players that he wants to bring in that can turn a program around, but also the right players, right understanding of what you're trying to do schematically and who fits that, both from a schematic purpose, as a talent purpose, and from a chemistry purpose. Would you agree with that? And it's like a different speed.
Yeah, you know what else? You know what else? The guys that they retained. All right, I can tell you, I know for a fact that in December they got there, and some of the guys that were in the building that were carried over that were wondering if they had a shot at being on Lane Kiffin's staff, whether it was an analyst or personnel, whatever. The guys on Kiffin's staff that came in right away didn't even talk to them. They were like, would walk right past them because they didn't know who they were and what they were. As the weeks went by, it's not just the talent evaluation they do on players. They kept the right guys.
The coaches you're talking about.
And the analysts.
Yeah, they kept the right guy. J.R. Belton, Jeff Martin, Sam Petito. I mean, they kept the right guys from the previous staff. To say nothing of the coaches on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, they didn't keep Frank Wilson, though.
And they didn't know half those. They didn't know half those guys. There's even a few more in the building. It took them time. And they realized the value. I think there's a whole lot of Saban-esque stuff here that is kind of a deja vu almost. Where
it's funny, course, Mike.
I don't know how much practice we're going to get, but I imagine we get practices that some of that's going to be eerily similar. The weight room, I'm hearing reports from the players that it's night and day with the new strength coach. I mean, all this stuff is going to add up.
Mike, we got to run on that. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks a lot. Always good hearing from you. And we'll see what happens at 2 o'clock tomorrow. It'll be very interesting to hear as Lane Kiffin shed some light here on how he put this all together. Thanks a lot for your time.
All right. Talk soon. Enjoyed it.
All right, Mike Scarborough from Tiger Bait. We'll take a break. One more segment of Tiger Rag Radio when we come back from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're back to Tiger Rag Radio.
Wrapping up hour number one of the show from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. And for those that are listening on Talk 107.3 here in Baton Rouge, you can hop over to TigerRag.com to listen to hour number two, as Kim Mulkey will be talking on Talk 107.3 here. The Kim Mulkey Show will be coming up. When we come back after the top of the hour break, Imari Peterson, a cornerback who is signed to play at LSU, he will join us. We'll also hear from Matt McMahon and Corey Diaz, as we'll talk some hoops as well. Good conversation there from Mike Scarborough of Tiger Bait. Glenn?
Yeah, I was laughing a second ago, not because of what you were saying, but I just got a text from Scarborough, because I was saying, man, for a guy who used to rip me for writing about Saban all the time when he first got to Alabama, I said, you talked about Saban a lot. And he said it's safe now to talk about Saban again. Really, that's a funny thing about it, because Lane is so connected to Saban. It's like Saban's back
right,
at LSU.
Right.
You know, he's the favorite ex-coach now.
And as we know, if it wasn't for Nick Saban, Lane Kiffin is not here.
Well, that's what Lane says, but I think Lane was coming anyway. He's kind of pushed some of that on Nick, I think, to help him with Ole Miss. Like, hey, Nick told me to come, man. It wasn't me. I think he was coming anyway, and Nick, you know, helped convince him, but he was coming anyway.
He closed the deal. Saban closed the deal.
It adds to his championship pedigree, too. I mean, it's Kiffin's smart. He's smart. He's a smart dude.
And Saban is definitely a mentor of his. There's no question, as is Pete Carroll.
LSU baseball ranked number one in the preseason poll by the coaches. Also, did you guys, quickly back to football here, did you see the college football playoff dates for next year have been announced? We could get a little bit more into this as well.
It's even later, huh?
Kiffin didn't like it.
No, he did not. He did not, because you're going to have the championship game on January 25th. The Sugar Bowl next year will be on January 13th, Friday, January 15th.
Did you say the championship game will be January 25th?
25th.
You know why Lane doesn't like that? Because that's too close to recruiting. Nick hated that. You know, of course, that was before the signing day. The second one doesn't matter. But, no, he's always been against it being so late. The NCAA, college football, you know, it's not just the NCAA, it's the commissioners, it's everybody
right.
involved.
It's the calendar, too.
Know how to schedule. Anything. You don't need this early signing period. They need to get rid of that.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Imari Peterson, LSU cornerback and LSU signee, he will join us when we come back on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.